Practicing gratitude is supposed to be life-changing. But how come most of us drop it after a week? There's a reason it doesn't stick. And no, it's not you being lazy. If you've struggled with consistently feeling grateful, then this episode is extra special, handcrafted just for you. So last week was Thanksgiving here in the US, and as a new podcaster, I kind of felt like I had to talk about gratitude. I mean, it is the obvious topic du jour. But I also didn't really want to because honestly, what else is there to say? We've all heard the same gratitude advice 1,000 times, like what Zoe says here.
Every morning, I will name 3 things that I am grateful for or that I'm thankful for. And like, it's just such a simple thing that you can do. Even if you're super busy, if you could just take those like 5 seconds to just name those 3 things every day, it can really make an impact on your mental health, on your physical health, and it can really increase your happiness and your health. And it's just really important to include that, at least in my opinion.
What she's saying isn't wrong, right? If you did this every day, you would probably feel better about life. And I even have the 5-minute journal, which has you do this every morning and evening. So when I listened to Zoe, it was interesting because no one I know does this, at least when they're being truthful. They don't really do this. It's kind of like taking vitamins where we know it's a good idea, but so few of us actually do it. It's a weird thing if you think about it. Why does something that's so universally acknowledged as a good thing, why is it we don't consciously practice gratitude on a daily basis? That's the question I'm exploring today. You're listening to This Is How You Think, the podcast that helps you remodel your mindset. I'm your host, Jewel Kim. Let's dive in. So Zoe's advice about noticing 3 things, something like that, it's not that hard. It doesn't even take that much time. It's not like going to the gym, where most of us also don't exercise, because that takes some time and effort. And for me, it was only within the last 3 years that I've managed to make exercise a regular part of my daily routine. But that 5-minute journal I mentioned earlier, well, my friend Clarissa gave it to me back in 2017. And when I checked it for this episode, apparently I have filled it out a grand total of 16 times. Sorry, Clarissa. So why is this? Why is it so hard to actually live an intentionally grateful life, even when we're given the tools? And maybe you're different, but from what I've observed with everyone I know, including myself, 99% of the time, whenever I see someone expressing gratitude, it only comes after something extra good happens, like we're given a gift, or someone does something really nice for us. We don't really express gratitude for the everyday things, the things we already have. So for example, we don't usually sit around saying, "Oh my gosh, I'm so grateful to have clean drinking water." You don't normally hear that in the US. And we also don't typically say, "I'm so grateful to have a clean, comfortable, warm bed to sleep in." Which is a little odd because clean water and a good bed are pretty important to quality of life. But somehow we take them for granted as basic necessities that you're just supposed to have. You don't even think about it, even though there are parts of the world that don't have these things. So I did a little bit of digging in my personal life with my friends, my family, and my notes on clients I've worked with. And this is what I'm seeing. Most people's internal space, especially emotionally, is already filled up with other stuff, especially with these 3 things. I call them layers. 1, we have unprocessed emotions. 2, we have judgment and blame at ourselves and everyone else. And 3, we have our habits of where we put our attention. Let me use myself as an example. I'll show you what I mean. Back in episode 1, I mentioned how many of the people who know me today are surprised when I say they wouldn't have liked me in my first 30 years of life because I was so incredibly negative. Well, A lot of this came from some trauma. So around 2 years ago, I found out that my dad and I were held up at gunpoint when I was 3. Yes, you heard that right. We were held up at gunpoint. I don't remember it, and my parents didn't see fit to bring it up to me. And I only found out because I recently asked about this other time when I was 8. And they were like, "Do you mean when you were 3? And I was like, "What? What happened when I was 3? What the heck?" Maybe they never brought it up because they didn't want to further traumatize me, but this is pretty classic. Not talking about stuff is kind of the Asian way. And back then, you have to keep in mind, nobody knew that even if someone doesn't consciously remember something, that the body always does. So that's when a lot of stuff started to fall into place for me all of a sudden. Imagine that. There was also the time when I was 8. I will spare you the details, but my dad was shot in our convenience store and I was sleeping in the back when it happened. And maybe I'm fortunate that I didn't witness it myself, but who knows, maybe not, because I've also imagined it 1,000 times. The brain wants to fill in the gaps, and sometimes what you imagine is actually worse than what really happened. Anyway, don't worry. My dad is still with us today, despite being shot in the head. He was incredibly lucky. And as far as the doctors could tell, he didn't even have any brain damage. They said he was a walking miracle. I agree. So there was that kind of stuff, which was pretty big. And then there was the daily reality. My family, I'm not going to beat around the bush. It was straight up an abusive situation. And I am not saying that to make anyone feel bad, and I'm not saying that my family are bad people. At the end of the day, I know we were all just trying to get by. And when you have a boiling pot that's under a lot of pressure, that pressure is going to come out in undesirable ways. Now, despite everything that had happened, I was never taken to a therapist. I was never taken to talk to anyone. This was the 80s. Nobody emphasized mental health. That was almost a laughable idea back then. So I was carrying an avalanche of unprocessed stuff just lurking inside of me with nowhere to go. That is the first layer, unprocessed emotion. And all of that turned into really heavy judgment and blame. Most of my memories growing up, it wasn't a happy time. And it was weird because my friends at school were so happy-go-lucky. They had a certain lightness to them that I didn't have. So I could tell they had a very different home life. They had family members they actually wanted to be around. But me, I was always afraid of getting beaten or yelled at. Life felt really terrible and super unfair. So I was extremely angry and blaming and judgy. That was the second layer. Judgment and blame towards everyone I knew, the world, and myself. And that's when the habitual negativity developed. When you experience negative or scary or traumatic events, you can't help but start scanning for more negative things. You're constantly looking for threats to appear on the horizon because you're trying to protect yourself. Given everything that had happened in life, I was constantly on guard. I was fixated on the negative aspects of any situation, and it was like I was blind to the positive. This is the third layer, where you point your attention. I didn't know that you get more of what you focus on. So we have three layers feeding each other in a vicious cycle. When your entire existence is consumed like this, you don't have the space inside of you to actually be grateful, not in any kind of meaningful or consistent way. Now, here's the thing to understand about gratitude. By nature, gratitude is in direct opposition to all of that undigested emotion, the judgment and blame, and the habitual looking for the negativity. For someone who is somewhere deep in the three layers like I was, trying to practice gratitude is like slapping a band-aid on a broken leg. You're layering gratitude on top of undigested pain. It doesn't work. This was me for a long time. I never really felt grateful because I was so trapped in negativity. I didn't break the negativity loop until after I started dating my husband. We'd been together around 3 months, and I still remember this one day. This was back in the days when I was a gamer. We had just lost a game of League of Legends. I was in a foul mood, and I was being extra critical of the other players. And that's when my husband turns to me and says, "I wish you weren't so negative." I felt like I was slapped in the face. It hurt. And the thing you gotta understand here is that my husband rarely criticizes anyone. He is not a complainer, it's just not him. You really have to be over the top for him to say something like that. And that's why it shook me so hard, because I knew that him going that far and saying something like that meant that it was serious. That was when the first cracks of awareness appeared in my negativity loop. The next big jump in awareness happened after I became a coach. That is when I saw just how constantly judgmental I was. I had this inner voice with this internal commentary that never stopped. And it's super sneaky because most of us never question that inner voice. We just don't really question any of the things we think. We are running around on default mode thinking all these things, and we think we're right. We fall into judging and blaming as a coping mechanism for the bad things happening to us. And the commentary is how we make sense of the world. But we do it in a way that's so filtered, so biased, so negative, and most of it is never true. We're just making stories up. And the part that I find hilarious is that if we're going to make stories up, why don't we make up stuff that's positive? You know, use your power for good, not evil. But that's not what we do. We have an incredibly strong bias for the negative. Now, if you're listening to all of this and you're thinking, well, what the heck, man? What do I do? How do I get out of this negative cycle? How do I bring more gratitude into my life? I've got you. Here's what I found. If you truly want to live a life where you feel deeply grateful, the first step is to process. Process your life and everything that has happened to you. Digest the pain that you've been carrying. The fears, the uncertainties, the anger, everything. Think of this like food, but with your experiences. See, when people have poor digestion, food just sits in their stomach and starts to rot. That's what causes heartburn and acid reflux. Most of us are walking around with undigested experiences sitting in our body. So the first step is to process. Digest your life experiences. Next is acceptance. To take your experiences in as they are, without resisting, without pushing away. Acceptance is to understand that something happened and to see how it's affected you without rejecting the fact that it's part of your life. Once you get to acceptance, then you're ready to release and actually let go. That's when gratitude shows up, because now you've finally created space to feel other things. All those tips we hear about living a more grateful life, the advice isn't bad. It's just coming too soon, because that's not how people work. We all have a cycle we have to go through first with processing, acceptance, and release. When we go through that cycle, that's when the resistance fades away and we're finally able to naturally feel grateful. We're open to actually using those tips on gratitude, and we can leverage it to reshape or reframe our more difficult or negative feelings. Now, just to let you know, clearing out the things lurking in your past, it takes time. It definitely doesn't happen overnight. For me, it took decades because I didn't know I was constantly dragging this baggage around, and I didn't have the tools, which is why I'm sharing this with you today so it doesn't take you decades as well. And this is where working with a therapist or a coach can help you do this in a safe way. Once you do start working on this and making progress, You also want to make sure you're developing a way of processing so that you're not piling up on new unresolved stuff like some kind of hoarder. So, for example, here's what I do. Whenever something happens that I feel triggered by, I ask myself these questions. What am I feeling? Why am I feeling this? What triggered it? And what do I want to do about it? That's me processing in real time. This is how I make sure I don't create more negativity loops. Ever since I worked on everything I've been sharing with you in this episode, it's been incredible. I have moments every day where I feel so grateful for everything. I'm grateful for my husband, for me being alive. I'm grateful to still have my parents with me. I'm grateful I get to do the work I do. And sometimes I honestly can't believe that this is my life. And even when I see other people experiencing something wonderful or beautiful, it almost makes me want to cry because I'm so happy for them. I was never able to access that before. So create the space within yourself. Process, accept, and release. Gratitude will flow. And whenever you're ready, here are some ways to intentionally feel grateful. This first one is from Vaughn, which I personally love because I don't do this enough.
I focus on what I have versus what I don't have in life. And I also like to look back at low points in my life. And those times I wished for everything that I have now. And when I do that, it puts things into perspective and I can't help but be grateful.
This next one is from Matt. If you're the person who doesn't stop to smell the roses because you're always moving the goalposts on yourself, this one's for you.
For me, this has always been a challenge of the how do I celebrate the progress that I've made and the gains along the way while still having a big vision and goals. It's always been something that's challenging for me. And what's helped me lately is this understanding of I'm measuring myself not against the big ambitious goal that kind of guides me and is the direction, but I'm measuring myself against the small personal growth steps and wins along the way.
And here's Lauren with a really simple practice to anchor gratitude with something tangible.
My favorite way to practice gratitude is through the lens of my camera. It helps me be more present with what's around me. It helps me frame the beauty that I see and just notice the little details that are often missed when I'm quickly moving from task A to task B or destination A to destination B. And then once I've noticed what's all around me physically, it just creates this domino effect of gratitude of what's beyond where I presently am. And it just is a wonderful feeling.
And this last one is from me. This year, my favorite way to consistently practice gratitude has been using Finch, which is this really cute self-care app. They're not sponsoring this, and I'm not affiliated with them. I just really love their app. The best part is I got my husband to use Finch too, so we check in together every evening. It's been really nice. That's it for today. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with someone who needs to hear it. And if you'd like to work with me to create space within, feel free to reach out. I'd love to hear from you. As always, I believe in you. See you next time.